invite you to stand for our invocation. If that doesn't wake you up, I don't know what will. Blessed be God, Creator, Savior, and Advocate, who journeys with us, whose justice and compassion endures forever. Gracious God, teach us to do justice, to love kindness, and to be humble in this life. More importantly, teach us to see more clearly when we are falling short of those goals, and plant in us a desire to boldly bend the arc of history toward your love and justice. We give you thanks for knowledge, encouragement, and forgiveness. Please be seated. Our reading for this morning is taken from the book of Micah, chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 6 and concluding with verse number 8. With what shall I come and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will God be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does God require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Holy wisdom, holy word, thanks be to God.
It's a time of transition. An aggressive nation has just annexed its neighbor. The situation of ordinary citizens is marked by a social structure where the rich and powerful exploit the vulnerable, creating massive inequities of wealth and power. Military spending consumes a significant portion of the GDP, mostly funded on the backs of those who can least afford it. In addition, aliens from failed states come and seek to build a new and better life for themselves. This is all occurring during the time of when Micah prophesied the fall of Jerusalem. I used to have a teacher that said, text without context is pretext. So let me provide some context for today's scripture. Early in Micah's time as a prophet, the neighboring country Assyria had a new king with plans to expand the Assyrian Empire. A succession of weak leaders, both in Israel and Judah, failed to deal with the Assyrian imperialism. One of Judah's kings, Ahaz, sided with Assyria over Israel, leading to Assyria's annexation of the northern kingdom of Israel. King Ahaz paid exorbitant tributes from the temple's coffers in his deal with the Assyrian king, and Assyria demanded ongoing tributes from its vassal states like Judah. Now, and then, and pretty much any time in human history, the wealthy and powerful use their influence to protect their wealth and power. As Assyrian influence rose, so too did the false prophets who justified the actions of the wealthy and powerful. This led to greater and greater inequality, and the burden of the tributes was, for the most part, borne by those who didn't have the influence or resources to protect their wealth. More and more of the rising financial burden for defending against hostile neighbors was placed on those who had little to begin with. And on top of all this, the population of Judah was greatly expanding as refugees sought relative safety as they fled from Assyria's imperialism. In short, the rich got richer, the poor got poorer, and the number of vulnerable people expanded greatly. As you might expect, the question on people's mind in the midst of a broken social structure was, is it just for our God to punish us like this? But God isn't responsible for their plight. In verse 3, God asks, in what I imagine is the hurt tone of the falsely accused, my people, what have I done to you? How have I burdened you? Micah then reminds them of the times God has saved them from catastrophe, the Exodus, a curse turned into a blessing, and crossing the promised land. Later in chapter 6, verses 9 through 12, and in chapter 7, Micah contrasts what God has done for the people with how the people have responded to the covenant. He calls out merchants who use dishonest scales to cheat the people, the rich for a tendency towards violence, and the deceitful that inhabit Judah. It's fairly clear Micah sees that the fall of Jerusalem is not because of an unjust God, but because of the deplorable state into which society has fallen. So the people respond by asking, what would you have us do? They provide a litany of ritual and possible offerings for God to choose from, ranging from simply bowing before God to human sacrifice, bargaining, if you will, for God's help. It's perhaps not surprising that people in the midst of hardship bargain to make their lot better. But problems are complex, often more complex than we even know. And the solutions are almost never single-action quick fixes. A change in our circumstances, real change, enduring change, requires something more. In essence, God's response isn't to pick a specific act to perform. God's response is a call to change their lives. God tells them, do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with your God. I find the similarities between Micah's reality and our reality remarkable and troubling. And while we may not have an Assyrian army on our door, nor do I expect Canada to rise up and conquer us, we do face a situation where 1% of the population in our country controls 34% of the wealth. Children under 18 years represent only 23% of the U.S. population, but they comprise 34% of the people in poverty. In the St. Peter Public Elementary School, 40% of the students qualify for free or reduced cost lunch. In the U.S., at some point during any year, more than 1.5 million children experience homelessness, And on any specific day or night, tens of thousands of children are homeless. We live in a country where it is estimated that between 600,000 and 800,000 people are trafficked across international borders each year. The International Labor Organization estimates that worldwide, approximately 12.3 million people at any given time are victims of human trafficking. Human trafficking is a sanitized way of saying people are being sold into slavery, many of whom are being repeatedly raped for the profit of others. 40% of all human trafficking cases in the United States opened and investigated between January 2008 and June 2010 were for sexual trafficking of a child. The Mall of America has been a major traffic point for this exchange. We have our share of false prophets, our share of lies and distrusts, our share of wealthy and powerful people leveraging the legal system to protect and concentrate their wealth and power. So what's the way forward if not the self-destruction that Micah describes? Now, as during Micah's time, we need to change what we value and how we interact with others. Maybe we should look carefully at what God requires of us. There's a lot in these three simple directives: do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. The first of these is a call to action. Do justice. Do something. It's not enough to be a well-wisher with correct beliefs. One must act. Justice calls us to work for fairness and equality for all, especially for the weak, the powerless, and those exploited by others. The call to do justice is a call to identify laws and customs that allow for and perpetuate the exploitation of others. It's a call for systemic action. Rather than just setting up soup kitchens, find out what systemic problems lead to homelessness. Although 5% of the population suffered from severe mental illness in 2012, nearly 40% of the homeless population had serious mental illness or conditions related to chronic substance abuse. Those two things go together in a way that is almost too hard to separate. Designing and implementing a mental health infrastructure that's accessible is doing justice. This 40% statistic is about 10 years old and may be changing. The single highest expense in almost every family's budget is housing. And because of stagnant and falling wages, 3.5 million workers have been falling out of work and into homelessness every year for the last 20 years. Lobbying for a living wage, not just a higher minimum wage, is doing justice. The second thing God asks of us is to re-examine our interactions with others. Love kindness. The word kindness here is a simple translation of the Hebrew word chesed. This is a word that encompasses love, loyalty, faithfulness. Chesed is an essential virtue in Jewish theology, both in its own right and for its role in repairing the world. It invokes some of the key elements in healthy relationships between friends, in marriages, or even between God and God's people. It's a generous interpretation of covenant-bound relationship. It's a call to reconciliation rather than litigation. It's a call to empathize with the other and respond in a loving rather than judgmental way. It is to love another without coercion and without fear of punishment. It's Jesus healing on the Sabbath, breaking one of the Ten Commandments to love. Lived out in the relationships between people, chesed encompasses mercy. We're all called to seek out opportunities, not because we are bound by covenant with God or each other, but because we love our brothers and sisters and wish to be faithful to our common humanity. So while you're campaigning for a living wage and for accessible mental health infrastructure, sign up to volunteer at The Kitchen, the weekly free meal served by Trinity Lutheran Church on Monday evenings. Or help with the Children's Weekend Food Backpack Program for those children who have no food assistance when not in school. Work with Habitat for Humanity, either in St. Peter or through the work our student affiliate does in other parts of the country. Stop into the Center for Servant Leadership and find out where you can plug in. There's always a need. Finally, we're asked to walk humbly with God. Humbly here could be translated or understood as carefully. Walking with God as our constant companion requires us to walk where God walks. To be certain, there's a clear line of authority here. God dictates the direction. But being juxtaposed with chesed as it is in this text, God seems to be asking us to think of him as a loving guide rather than a demanding taskmaster. Now, it should be noted that the threatened invasion of Jerusalem came later, and it came from another Assyrian king. Judah's king, Hezekiah, son of Ahaz, was cut from a different bolt than his father. By the accounts in 2 Kings, Hezekiah ruled with justice and kindness. As a result, when the Assyrian army laid siege to Jerusalem, God sent an angel to keep them out. With all that we see broken in our social structure, there's both hope and a way to transform that hope into reality. What are the systems that keep people vulnerable? Work to repair those systems. What are the immediate needs of those in your community? Help provide immediate relief. Practice chesed and help repair the world. Look carefully to see where your God walks and walk with God as a faithful companion. Go serve. Go transform the world.
Gracious God, we pray today with grateful hearts for all the people in our midst who see injustices, gender, racial, environmental, social, and economic, and are moved to action. May their campaigns, their protests, their sit-ins, their conferences, and their letters move our leaders and inspire us all to work for a more just world. Musicians at Gustavus as their ensembles perform this spring and as many individuals and groups of students prepare for and give their recitals. May their skill and dedication to their craft bring beauty and joy to our lives. In may their performances be a blessing to all who listen. International students and students from racially and religiously underrepresented groups. We pray that recent events that have caused them pain will be addressed, that as a community we will work to ensure that all people feel welcome and respected on this campus. Compassionate One, we pray for those who are overwhelmed and struggling to make life work, for students who are stressed by midterms and papers, for professors who have mountains of grading, for administrators who have tough choices to make on behalf of the college, and for all students and employees of the college for whom life just seems to be too much right now. God, help us to have compassion for ourselves and for one another, as you have compassion for us. May we join together as a community of care, loving one another as we face this new day. Merciful God, you know our longings and our questions. You know the stirrings of our soul, our fears and anxieties, our triumphs and our failures. You know our belovedness and our brokenness. And through it all, you love us and fill us with your grace. May Jesus' way of living mercifully become our own. Amen. And now I invite you to go in peace, to love, to serve, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God.